and welcome to the Mindset Growth Academy podcast. I'm your host, Emma Gibbs-Ung. Each show, I'm going to be using a combination of interviews with incredibly inspiring people from around the world who have achieved greatness, overcome adversity, and never given up, as well as solo episodes from me, sharing my own journey as a leading mindset coach, helping to inspire, support, and guide you to create a growth mindset so you can achieve success in all areas of your life. Are you ready to bring mindset to life and create success from the inside out? Let's go. Hello and welcome back to the Mindset Growth Academy podcast. Today I'm joined by the amazing Jessica. Jessica has spent 20 years in publishing, working for four major multi-award winning publishing companies within both Penguin Random House and
Hachette,
which helps if I could pronounce it, Hachette UK, before leaving to set up her own business. Today, Jessica's going to be sharing with us how she came to that decision to step away from successful corporate careers and the opportunity that she then had to branch out on her own, follow her passions, and then set up her own publishing consultancy business, helping entrepreneurs identify what ignites their passion, find their voice, and share their message in a way that turns all these readers into valuable clients. Ooh, sounds interesting. She'll be talking about how she took that step, the impact that that's had on her confidence, how she's overcome entrepreneurial challenges, and how she's transferred her skill set to create a global business that has now got unlimited opportunities. So Jess, welcome. It's lovely to have you.
Thank you very much, Emma. It's absolutely lovely to be here. Thank you.
What an introduction. It would help if I'd practiced pronouncing that name.
It's okay, because when you type Hachette, usually my computer will auto-correct it to machete.
Oh, well, it's
slightly aggressive.
Yeah. But I must admit, I had been practicing and I thought, I'll just say whatever, but this is real. So, you know, I'm not a presenter, let's be honest. But no, on a serious note, there's lots that I want to talk to you about today, because your journey is pretty unique. What you do as a business is unique. There aren't many people out there like you in lots of different ways. In the intro, we spoke about the fact that you had 20 years in publishing, and there was a choice that you had to make like a couple of years ago about what you were going to do within your business, within your career. I just want you to spend a few moments, if that's all right, just kind of giving us a bit of information around that, setting the scene. Tell me what was going on, what was leading you to make this choice and why.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so as you said, I worked in publishing for 20 years. I had worked my way up from the very, very bottom junior positions. I'm up to a marketing director on the board. I ran a team of about 11 people. I was in charge of massive budgets and big campaigns and all sorts of things. And I that was going on at work. And then at home, I'm married and I've got a young son. After he was born, after about 9 months, I went back to work, and I went back to work full time. And that was all fine. That was all going very well. He was very happy at nursery. I was very happy at work. And then I realized that I'd kind of got to a bit of a crossroads. I think I got to a bit of a personal and a professional crossroads. And the professional crossroads was one where I was, you know, in my early 40s. And I was thinking about like the next 20 years of my working life, what was that going to be? And I sort of thought, well, you know, I've got a real opportunity here. Do I put my foot down and really go for it and, you know, aim to become an MD and whatever kind of heady heights within publishing, building on the kind of career that I had? And, you know, do I do more or do I do less? Because I've got a child now and he was about to start school. And the thing that you realise, well, you don't realise, is that when they're at nursery, it's great because they're there like all day. And then they start school and school only has them for about 5 minutes a day. And it's, you know, my husband was, we both worked full time. We both worked about an hour away from where we lived. And so it was like, this isn't a problem that was unique to us. It's absolutely everybody. How do you make it work? How do you juggle it? And, you know, if there's an emergency and how do you get back in time and all those sorts of things. And And I suddenly realized that our life was going to be driven by this ridiculous schedule that's carefully balanced of, well, on Monday you do this and on Tuesday he goes here. And I just thought, oh, that sounds awful. And so whilst I was having all those thoughts about, like, you know, the future, my professional future and where my career could go, at the same time I was thinking, well, what if our family life was structured differently? How would that look for us? And so that was the moment of like, well, okay, what if I didn't do more? What if I did do less, or, you know, something different, so that we could sort of start to build a different kind of family life for us that meant things weren't quite so stressful and hectic. And so, yeah, that was a really big decision. And there were lots of, you know, it brought up lots of kind of fears and issues with it, but it was one that I did eventually take.
And did you feel the pressure to take that? Because often, and this is going to sound like a bit sexist, but often when it comes to families and business, it's quite often the mum that tends to have that step back. If the child needs you, quite often it's the mum that has to take the time off work.
Yeah, definitely. And particularly so because my husband's a doctor. So, you know, he works in a busy central London hospital as a consultant. So, you know, he's like saving lives. And so that would seem to be more important than publishing books if something went wrong. He was the one that got to stay at work. Actually, I mean, I did, you know, the kind of mommy guilt thing is, I don't know that's ever massively been a huge issue for me. I weirdly felt pressure from the other side. I felt pressure that if I stopped working stopped working in this corporate track, that I was somehow, I felt like people, in inverted commas, like who these mythical people are, would sort of be saying, oh, she's really wasting her potential. Like, she's had this 20-year career and now she's throwing it away to just go and do something else, you know, at home. And that I found was really, really, that was where the pressure came from.
Yeah.
And I had to really sit with that. And once I had that realization, I had to really sit with that and kind of think, well, is this real? And who are these people, in inverted commas, that are saying this about me? And, you know, and you start to listen to those, well, listen to the voices in your head and then tell them to shut up.
Yeah.
About where that was coming from. Was it actually true? And, you know, the idea, I think even at that stage, the idea that I would start my own business, I wasn't there yet at all. I didn't think that was going to be possible. But just the idea of stepping away from 20 years felt like, am I wasting it all? Am I throwing it all away? So that for me was where the fear was. And that was the kind of reframe that I had to do, that actually wasn't the case.
Yeah. And how did you do that? Because I mean, obviously, when you're in a corporate business, you're in a bit of a bubble. There's a safety net, there's security. You know, you've had a lot of success and you were very high up, but you've been there since the word go. So it was pretty much all you knew. So there will be fears. How did you manage those fears enough to make that decision to step away and to feel?
I mean, in a lot of ways, it was a very bruising experience, and I was, you know, I came out of it feeling quite low in confidence. But the one thing I always sort of felt was, you know, having worked in marketing for 20 years, you know, I had a Chartered Institute of Marketing diploma. I was like, well, you know, I could always just freelance a bit and pick up a little bit of marketing work here and there, and, you know, if I could earn maybe a third of my corporate salary, then that would be okay, and it would help us get by. And I think because I sort of put those kind of conditions on it, made it feel safe. If you said to me, do you want to leave and start your own business, I would have just gone, no, that's not possible. But I suppose I edged myself towards it in baby steps. And also, I've always, you know, from about the age of 16 or 17, I've always worked, and I've always, you know, I used to work at McDonald's, I used to sell double glazing, I've worked in newsagents, like, I've always had a job. So I've always, you know, I thought, like, if I have to go and work in Waitrose, I would actually really quite like that. Yeah. I think I always had that thought of knowing that, you know, I will always find a way to make money if I have to.
Yeah.
And so I think that having that self-belief in my own tenacity was the thing that made me feel like, you know what, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to make it work.
Yeah. And, you know, it is that belief, even if it is just minute, but if you can see it or feel it just slightly, that's that's when you know that you're onto a winner and you're making the right decision.
That is so true. And when I actually got to the point of, because I had a little bit of money to fall back on. So when I stopped working, I had a few months where I just did nothing, like a couple of months where I sat in cafes and read comic books because I was just knackered as well. I went full time working for 20 years. Just, you know, I had a small child. I was exhausted and I was like, I need a break. And then, as you know, all the things that came into play that made me realize that I was going to start a business. I definitely remember, I have a really strong memory of sitting in Costa going to myself, I haven't got a clue how I'm going to do this, but I just know that I am. I don't know how, but I have this faith. And it was weird because that's not something I've ever experienced before. You know, there's lots of times in your life where you take a leap, getting married, buying a house, needing jobs, having a baby. And I'd never experienced that kind of faith in the pit of my stomach. Like, I don't know how it's going to work. I just know that it will.
Yeah.
And that is the kind of rope that you haul yourself up on as you go through your entrepreneurial journey, sure.
So having come to that realization, what were your next steps from there?
Well, so once I was like, okay, I need to start doing some work. After I had my couple of months off skiving, I was like, okay, I need to start doing some work now.
Space, I would say.
Creative headspace. Yeah. That's right.
It's true though, isn't it? Like, you know, often when you take a step back from these things, having that time of doing nothing is actually where ideas start to come in. Because that pressure is away, you know, by moving from the publishing world, going to cafes, people watching, just doing normal things, gave you that time to switch off and allow other things to come in.
And actually, weirdly, not reading was a real privilege to not, because, you know, I mean, it makes sound like an ideal job, but actually when you have to read, you know, 5 or 6 books a week, of not your necessarily choosing, having to not have to read was quite nice. So I was at that point where I was like, okay, I need to start earning some money. So I'll do a little bit of freelancing in marketing, and quite quickly, and I, you know, sort of was going to tap up contact in publishing. Quite quickly, I thought to myself, and I have to edit this because my actual thought process had a lot of swear words in it. This is going to be awful. Like, I do not want to do this. I don't want to sit around waiting for the phone to ring and being beholden to other people. Yeah. Come on, I've got a bit more gumption than this. I can do something. And I've trained as a coach myself, and I've always believed in coaching. So at that moment, I was like, oh my God, of course, what I need right now is a coach. I need someone to help me. Mm. Set me up, you know, coach me from in a mindset perspective, but also in a business strategy. You know, I knew about marketing, but in setting up an online business. And so this realization came to me in Starbucks rather than Costa, but you can see a pattern in what I was doing in my head.
You like coffee.
I moved between kind of Cafe Nero, Starbucks and Costa on Barnet High Street. And so, you know, that's when I found my first coach. And at the time, the first conversation we had was, she said to me, oh, you should really help people write books. And I was like, absolutely no, I'm done with publishing. I don't want to have anything to do with it. I felt too bruised by it, really. I just want to help people with marketing, and that's, you know, that's what I know how to do, not just necessarily book marketing, but just in general marketing. And she, you know, the idea that I was like, oh, I can't possibly do that. But she was like, you've been doing it for 20 years. If that doesn't make you an expert. And it took me a couple of months, and I set up just as marketing. But then I realized it was not aligned with what I knew how to do, what I felt comfortable talking with. So after a couple of months, I did have a little kind of course correction, which I think is a really valuable process to go through. And one that you think, oh my God, people that, but I did a Facebook Live yesterday about this, and today I'm going to be doing a Facebook Live about that. And what are they going to think? They're going to think I'm an idiot. It's like, they're not, because nobody cares. Nobody's interested. Nobody's paying attention to your internal struggles in that way. It's perfectly safe to make those corrections. And I think, you know, and I'm incredibly glad I did, because it made me realize pretty quickly, yeah, you know, Cut Me and I Bleed Ink books is what I know and what I do, and where I can, you know, my zone of genius and where I can help people. But definitely that would not have happened if I hadn't got help. I think it's a real symptom that women, I think, are really, really reluctant to ask for help. And I also think it's a real myth that you can start a business and do it on your own without getting that help.
Oh God, I mean, I tried that for a good year and just ended up going round in circles, and just, it was relentless. totally relentless, and it wasn't until I invested in my coach that I finally got clarity. And it all made a lot more sense. You mentioned about being bruised. So when you made that decision, but actually you can still be involved in publishing, but from a different angle, and an angle that you're in control of and that you're passionate about, did you find that that was quite a healing process as well for you?
Again, that's a really, really interesting question, Emma. And I think it's sort of still an ongoing process for me, because actually, yes, because I feel like the way that I, you know, my calling to it now is helping people who help other people find that platform, find their voice and find their platform. And it sort of steps away, you know, 20 years in trade publishing, it's a little bit of a kind of conveyor belt sometimes. Yeah. Now, everybody does it because they love books, because I can assure you they don't do it for the money. But but it did sometimes get a little conveyor belty. So kind of actually stepping into a world where you're reminding yourself the importance of it for people and the impact that those books can have and the ripple effect of that has really, really helped me kind of find my confidence in how, in the value that I can give to people. And that has been a really lovely part of it. And one of the things that was a little demon that popped up, sort of a year in, was I then started a literary agency with a couple of colleagues, and in the first stages of it I was sort of doing it on my own, and I went, you know, I was then having to really step back into my old industry and email people that I used to work with as an agent, and the imposter syndrome there was enormous. I was just like, I literally would feel sick before I send on an email, because either it was like they're gonna think, oh my god, who does she think she is? Or weirdly, oppositely and worse, I have no idea who you are. Like, I'm saying, oh, you know, we used to work, like, they have no memory of me. So either completely contradictory feelings, but both equally sick making. And that was a real like, whoa, I thought I'd kind of got past this, but that whole new level, new devil thing. And the thing that got me through that was just remembering that it wasn't about me. I was doing this in service to the author, and that, you know, I might not want to hit send on that email, but what that might mean for that person and their future, I had to just sort of take myself out of the equation and remember who it was for. And it's always in service to the author. So that was an interesting lesson. Yeah, that was good.
Yeah. And also, you know, a lot of these fears, our thoughts, so many people say, oh, it was never as bad as I thought it was going to be, or, you know, any of that sort of stuff. And our ego does play tricks on us massively when it comes to branching out on your own with that judgment piece. But it's just having to think about why you're doing it. And so for you, you were doing it for your clients. And so there's a purpose there for it that is bigger than perhaps a comment or, you know, an email or something.
Definitely. That knowing that why, that, you know, the personal why and the professional why is the thing that gets you through that fear. And I talk to that, you know, obviously I talk about when I work with people who are, you know, they're scared of writing a book, they're scared of getting a bad review. And I talk to them all the time about, well, you know, remember why you're writing that book, and remember if you can help one person with it, you can help, you know, 10 or 1,000 or 10,000. And I also think when you think about, oh my God, what are they going to say? I would actually then bring that to, like, what do I mean by that? And sometimes I would work through it in my brain till I would get to one person that I knew, and that's who I was scared about. And then I would be like, really? Do I actually really care what this person thinks, so much so that I'm not going to go ahead with something? And they're like, no, of course I don't. Stuff them. It doesn't matter to me at all. And taking the time to work through where that initial kind of like, oh, feeling of awfulness comes from, I found really valuable.
I think you just hit the nail on the head there, though, with the fact that it's taking that time, whereas a lot of us don't. We just bury our heads in the sand and just keep on going. But when you have that time of reflection and you have that honest conversation, quite often a lot of those fears that we thought we had disappear almost straight away. But it's almost valuing yourself enough to give yourself that time to do it. and
definitely. And I have to say, I, you know, jump in here and say that the big game changer for me was not doing this alone. You know, I spoke before about working with a business coach.
Yeah.
For me, when I started working with a mindset coach, that's when things really helped, because I was able to not just take the time, but take the time with a professional to look at those feelings and to have somebody call me out on stuff and question stuff. And one of the things that I found was, and why it was so valuable, is because once you've been through a couple of those situations with somebody and you start to realize why you're doing it, you know, you start to trust yourself a lot more, and you trust your choices and you trust your behaviors, and you know, you don't have that fit, which means that the positive, the tangible side of that is you don't sit with your finger hovering over the send button for half an hour. You just hit the blimmin' send button and you've just saved yourself 29 minutes. Yeah. And so my productivity went up because I wasn't arsing around, you know, chewing my fingernails going, oh my God, you know, can I really charge this much? I would just add zero and hit send and off we go. And so then it has, that's then when it starts, when you do the mindset work, that's when it has incredibly powerful repercussions in an actual tangible business sense as well. And once you connect those two, it becomes a no-brainer to find the time to do that mindset work, for sure.
And have you, like you just mentioned about saving like the 25 or 29 minutes, but have you noticed a change in your business and your success and you as a person since making that mindset commitment?
Absolutely. And I think it's a constant process because, you know, I think you sort of slightly trundle along in a place that you're comfortable with. And, you know, maybe you put a piece of work out into the world and it doesn't hit. It doesn't resonate in the way that you thought it was going to. And you could just be like, oh, my ego. Oh, I'm so. Or you can just sort of say, okay, let's take the ego out of this. Let's look at this logically and dispassionately. And you know, rather than sitting in that fear, you just go, oh, okay, I've got the right message, but to the wrong audience, because I realize now that I'm playing small and I need to be going after these people. And then you tweak what you're doing in terms of you're changing your copy, you're changing your strategy, because you understand that what's driving those choices was fear and the, you know, your ego. And then bang, you change your marketing strategy, you convert your clients. And actually, yes, you absolutely see it, the difference on your bottom line, because you are now aligned with talking to the right people with the right message about what you do.
Yeah, I mean, I love that. And I think the thing is, you know, as a mindset coach, although I'm not your mindset coach, I'll just say to everyone, I haven't bribed her to come on today.
No, I know. But you know, without knowing the understanding of how it could work through knowing what you do, I don't think I would then have sort of gone and, you know, and been open to it. I think that was the big thing for me. We talked about headspace earlier. When I stopped working, the biggest change for me that got me from sitting in Starbucks going, what the hell, to, you know, actually matching my corporate salary, was going to myself, you know what, my old ways have not served me. Mm. I need to be completely different about how I approach stuff. And that was really scary because, you know, feeling like saying how you think and how you behave up until this point hasn't really got you to where you want to be, or you're a bit miserable right now.
Yeah.
So, that took, I think, for me, some, you know, to just be like, no. And that meant maybe like gravitating towards people that I work with who would be out of my comfort zone, because I was like, but my comfort zone isn't getting me where it needs to. And so that was a big thing of, I think, being happy to step out. Well, not, well, I wasn't happy, but I was happy afterwards.
Yeah.
And open my mind to stuff. And, you know, things like all those tools that are so incredibly valuable, like meditating, like journaling. You know, publishing was a really snarky, cynical kind of, like, not hard edge, because it's very friendly, but bit too cool for school. And you know, if I'd gone in every morning going, oh my god, I've just come from an amazing journaling session, people would just look at you like, what? And so that was to get out of my own way to do stuff like that. And you know, and it's knowing people like you that are such advocates for it that helped me kind of reprogram my brain to be like, actually, you know what, maybe these people have got some, maybe they're onto something here, I should probably listen to them, they're really smart.
That's the thing, you know, what I find with mindset is that the most important part is the self-awareness piece. and having that honest conversation with yourself that actually none of this is failures in any way. It's just learning and developing and expanding and taking that information for what it is, which is feedback, and using it to create the outcomes that you want, and to be open-minded about what else you can try. Because it is really tough to turn around and say, you know, what I'm doing or what I've done in the past isn't working. It's not in alignment. But the minute you do say that, you suddenly, there's a shift straight away, because you're open to other ideas, other opportunities, other ways of thinking. And that just broadens your whole mindset and your whole business, really. Mm,
absolutely. And it, you know, it's that smart people know they don't have all the answers.
Yeah.
And that's quite liberating, I think, to sort of step into that sort of vulnerability, that space of vulnerability about, I don't really know how I'm going to do it. I just trust that somehow it's all going to be okay.
You said about, like, obviously working with mindset, and then how you were introduced to visualizations and various things like that. We all have different techniques that resonate with us more, some that evolve over time as our direction evolves. And that's, do you have a set routine that you use whenever you're trying to achieve new goals or hit new income levels, you know, all of that sort of stuff?
I think I sort of have evolved. I feel like I move in and out of seasons of stuff. So even when I was living my snarky, too cool for school, cynical life, you know, like, I was always a massive yoga practitioner. I wasn't doing any meditating or any journaling or anything like that. But I was always a big yoga fan. So without even really knowing it, I suppose I was practicing at the very basic level that sort of mental stillness. And then when I first sort of became introduced to it, I used to sort of do guided meditations and visualizations, because I think when you first start, it's really quite difficult.
Yeah.
And now I'm at more of a place where I can do things just sort of freestyle. but I have to say, and it's often the way that the things that help you most, when you go through a period of time where suddenly, like, work piles on, or, you know, when you've got, I've got, you know, a family, and so I have school holidays where I have to kind of balance everything, that the meditation thing is always the piece that sort of falls off first, and I fall off the meditation wagon. And I find that journaling then is my inroad. And it's probably not that surprising for me, given that I've spent my whole life in with words and writing. And, you know, you can't work in marketing without being an accomplished copywriter, and I can write in lots of different ways. And I noticed myself that when I was journaling the other day, that my writing style when I journal is completely different to my public writing style, because I realized, like, I don't have to show off, I don't have to have any kind of, like, techniques. It's just really, really bog standard. But I think, yeah, for when you get to that point and for example, if something's gone wrong, journaling is definitely my go-to tool to try and work out what that might have been. And I do sometimes with meditation. I think I sometimes like to kind of, like, ask myself a question and then try and switch my brain off to see if the answer will filter through. But yeah, journaling for me, and that kind of, okay. And also what I'm starting to do a lot more of is that sort of future self thing, so that I get the feel, like, even like, where do I want to, rather than writing a to-do list, like, what have I got to do this week? I'll write, how do I want to feel at the end of this week?
Ooh, I like that.
And that's a really, that's been a really kind of powerful way of actually. And I also think it's really helpful when you have to balance the home and work thing. Like, I do it at the weekend, on a Saturday morning, and I'm also trying to get my husband into it as well. But, like, how do I want to feel when I go to bed on Sunday night? Like, I want to feel like I've accomplished something as a parent. Yeah. And, you know, I probably have to do a bit of work as well. And I think stepping into that, how you feel about stuff, it's really, I think when we're business owners, and it's so much, we inhabit so much of our space and time in the doing.
Yeah.
To make you give yourself conscious time to sit with the feeling, I think is a really kind of quite a valuable way of spending some time. But it's really hard when you feel like, oh, I haven't got time to think about how I feel. If you think that, you need to do it even more.
Yeah, well, exactly that. It's that softer side, isn't it? I think sometimes when you're in corporates, and I say this from experience, you become hardened. Like, you have to do things in a certain way that aren't always your way and abide by certain guidelines. Suddenly when you're in business, you have this skill set, but it's then softening it to your true person, but also to your clients. And that's, I found that quite tricky. I didn't realize I was corporate-y until I actually left. I was like, wow.
Particularly, I think in corporate, we wear so much armor, don't we? Because you have to deal with a lot of crap, and you have to deal with, you know, situations that you don't want to be in, and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, I think unlearning that, but also I don't think you can kind of go into the online world and not have any armor either, because you know, it being visibility issues being what they are, and online being what they are. I feel quite lucky because I'm ancient. And so I feel like if I was doing this, if I put it this way, when I look at women in their early 30s who are doing this, and particularly if they've already got kids, because I mean, I have my son quite old, but you know, someone who might have a couple of kids and they're in their early 30s and they've set up a business, like there was no way that I was in the headspace to be able to do this, because I'm in, you know, my mid 40s now. I feel that much more confident in my own skin. And so I think the visibility online, I'm quite happy about being Marmite if people don't like me.
Yeah.
I remember somebody once commented on a Facebook Live, like, how did you get this annoying? And I really wanted to reply saying, it's taken me 20 years practice.
Yeah.
But I think being a bit older and being a bit more, having had a little bit longer of, I mean, that's in a way one of the benefits of coming out of corporate, is because you have strengthened that resilience muscle, I think, haven't you?
100%, definitely. What's the biggest lesson you've learned then since stepping out of corporate, professionally but also personally?
That I should have discovered black coffee a long time ago. That's why I'm held together. Black coffee and swearing. My big lesson, well, obviously apart from always get help, I think it's slow down to speed up, actually, because I think when you want something and you grasp it so hard to try and like, and you get trapped into the hustle, it slips through your fingers. But when you can get to a point where you're a little bit more chilled out, and that's really, really difficult, particularly if it's around earning money and that feeling of like, you know, where is the money coming from? But I think when you can get, when I found that I could get to that point of just like do less to do more, slow down to go faster, that's a really difficult lesson to learn. But that was a bit, and also my first coach, I remember she told me off for using the phrase like feeling like I was on a roller coaster. Yeah. And I love that because it's true, because we're not in control of a roller coaster. And I completely reframed that language and it made me really aware of the language that I use. And so that was a really good thing. I think, yeah, in that personal thing, it's about managing my boundaries, because again, coming from corporate, you kind of everything has to be perfect. You have to over deliver. That's the over delivering is the under delivering. You have to have the bare minimum, but you can't work like that, I think, when you're working for yourself. And so trusting that you're good enough to be allowed to have boundaries is that's been a big thing. And you know, and it's a work in progress. And unfortunately, it's not one of those, you know, there are some problems you have where you go, oh, well, you only get that wrong once. I don't think this is one of those occasions. I'm sure I'm going to get it wrong many more times to come.
Well, yeah, but then it's a learning process.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, I think that's the thing. The biggest reframe that I've had within my business is that there might have been some wrong decisions, but they've given me the outcomes that I needed at that time to revisit things. And to learn from it. The thing is, you know, with anything, if you keep repeating yourselves and making the same mistakes, that's when you can perhaps get angry with yourself. But if you learn and make those adjustments, then, you know, don't be hard on yourself.
No, I think that not being hard on yourself is really key. But I think the interesting thing, what you just said, is about, you know, if you keep making those same mistakes, it's being self-aware enough to see that, because then, you know, you can't fix it if you can't see it. But once you can go, hang on a minute, this is basically the same mistake I made 6 months ago in terms of investing in a course that I don't need or something like that. Because until you recognize that pattern of behavior, you can't actually do anything to break out of it, can you? And you can't.
No.
And I had a real thing of like, oh my God, like if I had all the money back that I'd wasted on courses I didn't use or stuff like that. Because you realize that you do all of that as a safety net because you don't trust that you actually do know what you're talking about. But I think I've had to learn to be a bit kinder to myself.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, obviously your business has evolved massively. How important has goal setting been in your business and how do you manage that? Because that's often something that I speak a lot to my clients about, and either they're really good at it or they roughly know in their head what they're doing, but then there's no follow through. So, how important has that been for keeping you productive? And
it's everything. It's absolutely, you can't, I think if you're trying to do it without it, then you're going to get stuck very, very quickly. But I think it's hard when you first start, because you don't, in a way, like knowing how to goal set in terms of realistic, like, you know, I would set crazy money goals. Like I was never going to achieve them. And then of course you get really downhearted about it. And so, I think it's, you want that kind of aspirational, this is where I want to be, but you also then need to put in place those kind of strong business strategies behind it, going, okay, well, what am I actually going to do to break down the steps that I need to take to make that goal? So now, you know, I can set myself a sort of, you know, a stretch financial goal for 2019, but I've broken down exactly what I need to do month by month to actually to reach that. And it's much more achievable. In terms of, you know, you don't get so like downhearted when you don't, but it's really hard when you start out. And even things like kind of, you know, goals in terms of what my goal for the week is, because I used to, again, set do way too high. I mean, you don't want to do it way too low either, because then you're just along on the bottom. But I'd get to the end of the week and I'd feel like I'd failed because I hadn't done any, you know, I had 10 goals, 10 outcomes this week. And, you know, so of course that's crazy. But I absolutely, I get freaked out by doing 10-year plans. I can just about handle 5-year plans. 10-year, yeah. I can't do. But yeah, I have a really good idea of where I want to go in the next year and 3 years. And 5 years is a little bit nebulous, but I've got, you know, I know roughly. I absolutely think you can't. You won't in business particularly, but actually not just in business, even if you're not in business, in life, I think you absolutely need to be goal setting, because, you know, how do you know if you don't know where you're going, how are you going to know when you've got there?
Yeah, no, very true. I mean, you've spoken a lot about the importance for you of having that support network around you and that trust piece in not focusing on how this is all going to work, but the fact that you just know there's something in you that just knows. What advice would you give to someone that is in a position where, like, perhaps they are, well, they're either starting out in business or have this idea of wanting to run a business, but they just are not quite there yet?
I think it's about being really intentional about what you want. I mean, obviously we've talked about the why and why you want to do it, but, you know, what you want to get out of it. How do you want to spend your time? What do you want how do you want to feel? I mean, we spoke about that earlier, you know, how do you want to feel at the end of every working day and every year? And know that, you know, that thing of, you know, oh, well, it's all right for them, but I could never do it. Flip that, because if they can do it, then it's possible for you too. And, you know, I don't have I'm not the kind of coach where I have to sort of talk about how much money I earn to demonstrate that I can get people the results like some coach. And I don't have a problem with that, but I don't have to do that. But I do, you know, feel that it's a, you know, I used to be sat at my desk going, what the hell am I doing with my life? And now I want to be able to say to people, it is perfectly possible. It's not necessarily easy. It's not going to happen on the turn of a dime. But if you are intentional about what you want and you get help and you are honest with yourself, like, you don't have to be vulnerable with the whole world, but if you can be honest and vulnerable with yourself about what you really, really want. And not, you know, I always make people, when we talk about getting started with their books, because it's always about, for me, it's actually about their outcome of their business, and the book is a strategy to help them get there. But I always make them come up with, like, what's their their big goal that's so obnoxious that they're actually too embarrassed to say it out loud, and I make them tell me what it is. And it's having that goal and just knowing that, yeah, it is not being all Hallmark cards about, oh, anything can happen, everything is achievable. But, you know, if you don't aim for that, then, you know, even if you only get halfway, that's still going to probably be a lot better than where you're sat right now.
Yeah. So you got no regrets then from that step back?
God, oh my God. I mean, it's funny, I would think like, oh, I wish I'd done it sooner. But you know what? Maybe I wouldn't have been ready. And actually, I needed to do it now when I did it. And I definitely suffer from like, oh, I want to be further along than I am now. I still have that now. I definitely haven't mastered that being in charge of that frustration. Like, oh, I wish I could have just, you know, but then I have to stop and remind myself that, you know, I probably work about 20 to 25 hours a week.
Yeah.
So actually what I can do in that time, when I look at what I've achieved this calendar year, I'm like, wow, actually that's pretty impressive. I'm a bit rubbish about celebrating my wins, actually.
Yes,
say that I am. I'm a bit rubbish about that. I'm a bit like, okay, what's next? So I think that's an important thing that I need to learn. But that thing of like, oh yeah, oh God, yeah, ridiculously pleased I did it, and really excited about where it can go and what, you know, what the next sort of couple of years, 5 years are going to be like for me.
Definitely. I mean, just touching on that, like you said, you're not great at celebrating your wins, and I know me and you have had a conversation about this, but it is so important in business to celebrate wins and to surround yourself with people who understand what it took for you to get there as well, because sometimes we are so focused on like the moving or what's next, and if you don't celebrate it, then you're not really giving yourself the rewards that you deserve. And the whole part really of business is to have fun and to enjoy it. And if you're not even seeing the successes and the rewards that you've got there in front of you, then that can sometimes make you feel a bit disillusioned. So it is so important, isn't it, really, to take that time. And it's not arrogant, it's not being vain, it's just that moment of saying, do you know what, that was amazing. I'm really quite proud of myself for that.
I know. And it's really hard to do. And I think it's, you know, it's a kind of product of coming out of corporate where you always move on to the next thing. And you're never really allowed to take credit for something, because it's always a team effort. And so you feel like if you do take credit for something, someone's going to go, well, hang on a minute, it wasn't just you. One of the exercises I found really interesting to do as a journaling exercise is, You do a thing where you think of you today to go back to you a year ago, and like, what would you say to you a year ago, which is really inspiring. The thing that makes you cry is think about you a year from now coming to talk to you today. What would you a year from now say to you now? And that's I always find that quite a kind of like, oh, okay. I am rubbish at doing that sort of stuff, because it's like, oh, that again, and that I think comes from like setting how you set your goals, because it's like, okay, I'm going to have a launch and it's going to be six figures, and actually it's five figures, you'll be like, oh well, I didn't, you know. So in sometimes I won't set a goal around that, like I'll set a goal in terms of the workflow, but I will just let go of like, how much money would I like to bring in from this launch? Whatever I do is going to be amazing.
Yeah.
So I'm a work in progress on that front.
Well, that's the thing. It's evolving, isn't it? Everything that we do is evolving. It's, you know, a work in progress, and it's just finding a way that works for you. That isn't one that isn't rigid, but two, just is in alignment with how you want to feel, like you've mentioned, and the things that you want to do, and having that acceptance and awareness that things might not go the way that you want them to, and there might be a few challenges along the way, but if you can move beyond that, learn from them, that ultimately you can achieve what you put your mind to, and to keep going rather than that whole giving up, oh, this isn't working, poor me, everyone else is better. But having that awareness to hold on to the positive and to notice any signs. So when you start to slip, you bring yourself back and reframe.
that is, and again, working with somebody on that, that bounce back rate, like I've noticed, you know, when you do have a setback, it's all about shortening that bounce back rate, which I think is really key. But it does, it all just comes down to self-belief, you know, that quote about if you believe you can or you believe you can't, you're probably right. And I think you know, that in a nutshell sums it up really, doesn't it? But I believe I can.
Is that your mantra? Because
I was looking at my my desk on the wall above me, and what's the worst that can happen?
Yeah,
that's definitely one of them. I've got another one, which is how hard can it be, because really effing stupid people can do it.
Yeah,
that was the one that got me through learning how to drive for a start. But also it's that thing of like, well, what would you do if you knew what you were doing? Yeah. Because actually on one level I think we do, and all those fears get in the way. But yeah, what's the worst that can happen? I think that gets you through quite a lot of daily challenges.
Fab.
I also quite like, you're still helping people when you're asking them for money.
Yeah, because there is that big piece, I think, when it comes to, it's the whole self-worth piece, isn't it? And having and not feeling guilty for charging for your service, because especially when you really enjoy it and it comes natural, which publishing and all things books do to you, it's getting that shift to move beyond, well, I want to just help people and do it for free, but actually this is a business at the end of the day, and what people are paying for is that 20 years of experience. You know, so it's not just a price, there's a lot that goes into that, and it's having to get comfortable with that as well.
And it's a big thing as well, when, you know, particularly when you're kind of a coach or something like that, that you feel like you have to throw lots of extras into the ring and tools and assets and all, and the idea that actually somebody might pay me for just the words that come out of my mouth from my brain is quite kind of groundbreaking, and it takes a while to sit with that. You get successes for people and you get results and you help people have transformations, and the one thing I would say is that I find literally every single month something gets easier. There might be some new things that come up that are tricky, but every, you know, just things get easier. It's a bit like having a kid. It's kind of like, actually, when they get to one, you're suddenly like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
This is a bit easy now. And then they get to two, like, it's definitely, it gets, I mean, I'm
at a new rhythm, don't you?
I'm at nearly seven now, so we're pretty plain sailing right now.
Well, mine's just turned three, so we're entering a new little age, but it's all fun. But it's all about trusting and evolving and knowing that it does get better, the more in flow that you get. So it has been amazing. Obviously, I think what you do is amazing. I'm going to say it live right now, so I've got accountability and no turning back. But I am going to write a book with your help. It's always been a dream of mine. But watching you do what you do and the passion that you have for it, and it's not just that, the investment that you put in your clients is amazing, because you take them through that whole journey. You almost like take hold of the how and just allow people to focus on what they need.
Yeah, I think it kind of frustrates me, because I see people do it really badly sometimes. Mm. I mean, it's like, and it, publishing and writing, it is a mysterious thing, but it doesn't have to be. And actually just having somebody that teases out the, you know, it's perfectly possible to do it by yourself. I always say millions of books have been written without my help. But you know, having somebody that can listen to you talk and go, oh, okay, so what you mean is this, help tease out that brain spaghetti, as I always say, and put it together in a way. And then for me, then the twist is the business piece, in terms of putting it together in a way that's actually going to drive return on investment back for you, in terms of the time you spent and the money you've spent in getting the book written, so that it is turning your readers into clients. I think I feel very, very privileged to be in a position to do that. And I also feel like I'm really lucky, because I seem to be ending up helping to write the books that I really want to read.
Yeah.
You know, I think, oh, that book didn't exist, I really needed that. And then along will come somebody who says, I want to write a book about this. Let me help.
You put it out there and you're attracting them.
I know. I'll put it out there too, because I'm obviously writing my own book too. Yeah. So this is what everyone who's in my membership group with me at the moment as well, they're keeping me on track, because all you lot, I regularly kick you up the bum every week to tell me how you're getting on, but I have to tell you how I'm getting on as well. So.
It's that accountability piece is massive.
Putting my money where my mouth is.
Yeah. So how can, like, obviously people, we touch more on business rather than the full extent of what you do. How can people find out more about what you do and also to work with you, to work on this membership or, you know, future?
Absolutely. Program? So I'm at Jessica Killingly on Instagram, or I've got a Facebook group called Plan, Publish and Promote, free Facebook group, which is a great place if you are an aspiring writer or you are interested in doing a book for your business or to grow your profile. Come and join there, because I do like lots of weekly book clinics and answering any questions to do it at all. Yes, I also I do have a membership. So if you are writing and you want that accountability, we've got group coaching calls and teaching, all that, you know, things like everything from like how to structure your chapter to how to sit your ass down in a chair bang out the words each week. So all of that. I also have a self-study program called Plan to Publish, which really helps you work out what the book actually needs to be. I'm a big believer in getting the book planned out before you start writing. If you start writing that plan, it's all going to go badly wrong. So plan it out first. But yeah, come and find me on Facebook or Instagram, and I can point you in the right direction, or on jessicakillingly.com.
Well, I'll add all the links anyway in the show notes. It is really important. If you are interested in writing a book, for me, there is no better person. I'm not just saying that because she's in front of me right now. We've had an interview. I am working with her to get my book going, which hasn't gone very well at the moment, but it's there. I just need to get ideas onto paper now.
It will be published next year. There is no doubt that it will be published next year. I will not take no for an answer. Not how Book Witch works.
Hey?
Not how Book Witch works.
No. It will be live and published next year. And I mean, I've just watched a good friend of ours just get a best-selling book with the help of Jessica, so this lady knows her stuff.
I do.
So, yeah, so thank you very much. For any more information on Jessica, then obviously please use the links. But it's been a real pleasure speaking to you as always.
Always. And,
thanks for the insights.
Thank you so much, Emma. Lovely to talk to you.
And to you. Bye.
Bye.
That's all for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you've enjoyed this show, please head over to iTunes, subscribe, and leave a review. Bye for now.